out there. It's about 2:30 o'clock in the afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her son, Mr. Rush Gook. Fade is established in Vic's easy chair beneath the floor lamp, industriously donning gentleman's socks. And young Rush, gelatinously athwart the Davenport, munches an apple and reads a volume of fiction. Silence has prevailed for some little time, but now...
Listen to this, Mom.
Sir, Lieutenant Stanley gives Lady Margaret 600 sweet little kisses?
Yes, but when he gets done doing that, he captures a desperate band of counterfeiting diesel engine mechanics. Sir Lieutenant Clinton Stanley carefully wiped his mouth with an expensive purple silk handkerchief and then gave Lady Margaret 18 rapid smacking kisses, immediately followed by 12 convulsive hugs. Then he fell back against the shining surface of the expensive mahogany piano and began to scream, "I love you, I love you, I love you," with the hoarse words he tore from his throat. Lady Margaret tapped the toe of her fashionable French spats with the mother-of-pearl handle of her dainty lavender parasol and pinkened. After pinkening, she winced, whimpered, cringed, gasped, and sneezed. Also, she shuddered, cowered, wept, coughed, snickered, choked, whinnied, groaned.
Oh, yes, Rush.
Beg pardon?
I don't want to hear that trash.
In the next paragraph, Sir Lieutenant Stanley pounces on that crowd of counterfeiting diesel engine mechanics.
Haven't you got anything to do this afternoon?
Uh-oh.
Where are all your friends?
All one place and another. It'd be pretty boring to name off the different stuff they're occupied with. It'd bore you to listen to it, and it'd bore me to tell it.
Well, never mind, then.
Smelly Clark is in Tawanda visiting his grandmother. Bluetooth Johnson's helping his father down at the Chicago Norton shop. Cracky Otto caught a ride up to the lake on a delivery truck. Milton Welch is mowing some lady's yard over on Mulberry Street. Leroy Snow and Goody Morris took a job downtown with a fellow that's tearing out some partitions in his store.
All right.
And George McBurcher is taking it easy at home in preparation for having his tonsils and adenoids removed next Saturday morning.
All right.
I told you it was dull.
Mm.
It was boring for you and it was boring for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go outdoors and scratch my back against the rainwater drain pipe.
That won't put any special burden on your brain.
No, it won't.
You've got apple on your chin.
Yes, I know I have, but I can't reach it with my tongue.
You'll have to go through life with it on there.
Sarcasm, huh?
Yes.
On second thought, I guess I won't go outdoors and scratch my back against the rainwater drain pipe.
Oh, yes, right. You talk like a
sausage. Sir Lieutenant Stanley rolled his enormous soft brown eyes to and fro. "Give me a couple more kisses," he bellowed. The beautiful woman shrank, quivered, trembled, stumbled, tripped, tittered, blushed, blurred, kicked, and grunted.
Living room, kiddo.
Party, hi.
Got company?
Rush is here.
Oh, God.
Hi, Pete.
Poppity Whopper home at 2:45 in the afternoon.
Huh? Beautiful woman shrank, quivered, trembled, stumbled, tripped, tittered, blushed, blurred, kicked, and grunted. Sir Lieutenant Stanley.
Right, I said I didn't want to listen to that trash.
Oh.
Well, sure, ma. Hello, kiddo. Have any phone calls?
Phone hasn't rung all day.
It hasn't, eh?
No.
I see. Okay, fine. No harm done. Not a single call all day, huh? That's unusual. Well, Rush.
Oh.
School out early.
This is summer vacation.
Oh, that's good. Besides, it's Friday. You wouldn't be going to school on Friday, even if it wasn't summer vacation.
Why wouldn't I?
Oh, it's Saturday, I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Sure, it's Saturday, I'm thinking of.
And today isn't Friday.
Today is Wednesday.
Today is Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
Is anything wrong with you, Vic?
No.
You look like you're just busting with something.
That's my eager boyishness.
Why are you home in the middle of the afternoon?
Kiddo, now try not to get excited.
Excited?
I got something to tell you. It's a secret. Rush, go to Peoria.
Peoria?
I mean down cellar. Go down cellar. Wait a minute. Never mind. You might as well know it now as later.
Hey,
I'm in Peoria.
You're in Peoria.
I'm in Peoria.
Right this minute, you're in Peoria.
Well, I guess I am a little flustered.
You're more than a little flustered if you've got the notion you're in Peoria.
We're going to the Peoria. The plan is going to Peoria. Moving to Peoria. The whole kit and caboodle. Plant number 14 of the Consolidated Kitchenware Company is moving to Peoria. Lock, stock, and barrel. Executives, employees, and everybody else. Did I say Peoria? It's Peoria we're moving to. Try not to get excited, Sage.
I'm not excited.
I gotta watch myself so I don't get excited. I guess I do feel some little twinges of excitement. But you, a woman, why, I bet you're just shaking like a leaf. Yeah, even I feel a little shudder of excitement.
I'm not shaking like a leaf, but I'm certainly curious.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Gap.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Gap.
Hello, Rush.
Hello, Gap.
What do they call this little game?
What little game?
This little game we're playing.
I think they call it squat tag.
You feel a little tiny shudder of excitement, have it?
Oh, yes, because we're moving to Peoria. You know, Peoria.
Sure.
The city, Peoria.
Oh, not the motorcycle, Peoria. Yes, there.
Hello, Gap.
Oh, stop it there. Goodness, you're on the point of flying apart.
Well, there's news like this coming all of a sudden out of the clear blue sky. You can't help but make a man a little tense and nervous.
Well, try and take it easy. Just stand quiet and tell me all about this news.
It's a secret.
Vic, you're not even making sense.
I mean, it's a secret for me. I mean, I'm not supposed to know about it. I mean, I managed to put two and two together and come to a conclusion. I mean, some hints were dropped. I mean, I drew some shrewd inferences. I mean, well, here's what I mean.
Yes, tell us what you mean.
Well, I mean, yes.
Sit down, Vic.
I prefer to stand up.
Well, at least try and tranquilize yourself.
Tranquilize myself. I must remember that in Peoria. Peoria. I'll tranquilize myself in Peoria. That's not bad, is it? That's not bad neither, Wadey. I mean, it's not bad, Mad Weasel, Haiti.
Vic, actually.
I guess I did kind of twisted there.
I can straighten you out, Gov. You started
okay,
to say...
Okay, I got myself composed now.
Fine.
Or tranquilized, as you put it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Gus Fox from Dubuque, Iowa, was in town today. So was Ernest Hoker from plant number 4 in Sweetester, Wisconsin. So was J.J. Elrod from plant 7 in Dismal Secret, Ohio. And so was H.K. Fleber from Groveland, South Carolina. Well, those big shots were closeted in the boss's office all morning and part of this afternoon. I happened to be getting a drink at the water cooler out in the reception room when the meeting broke up. And both Mr. Hoker and Mr. Elrod nudged me and winked and whispered,
"How would you like to live in Peoria?"
One interpretation you could put on that.
And a little bit later, I happened to be passing Mr. Rubish's office and heard him dictating a letter and caught this fragment. "As soon as the present lease expires on this plot in Peoria, plant number 14 will take full and complete possession."
One interpretation you could put on that, Doc.
Were... Well, did any of those men...
Still later, I met Mr. Rubish and Taff in the hall. He said...
Yes? What did he say?
I forget.
Maybe he said Peoria.
He didn't say anything about Peoria.
Maybe he said...
I forget what he said. But anyway, I put two and two together. We're going to Peoria.
Well, are you happy about it or sad about it?
Well, frankly, Sage, I don't know. I'm a welder of mixed emotions. I'm not used to the idea yet. It'll take assimilation.
Uncle Fletcher, by George.
It's a secret, you know. Peoria is a secret.
You don't want me to tell Uncle Fletcher?
It's a secret.
Anybody home?
Hello, Uncle Fletcher. Come on in.
Peoria.
I've been lighting a gum box on the garbage light.
Hi, Uncle Fletcher.
Telephone is ringing.
I'll get it. Remember, this is a secret now.
I'm not going to tell Uncle Fletcher about Peoria.
Peoria is a secret.
I'm not going to tell him.
I believe I hear the telephone ringing.
Yes.
The tickling of the telephone. It makes a pleasant sound.
Uncle Fletcher, we're moving to Peoria.
No.
Yes. We're moving to Peoria.
Hey, by George.
That's the telephone, Doc.
Yes, goodness.
Huh? Oh, hello. Peoria?
Now, back again, we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Neither Vic or Sade is in evidence, but Uncle Fletcher and young Rush are seated on the Davenport, and the former is holding forth on a miscellany of subjects. Listen.
Arladine Hogflut loved Iowa, Michigan, Missouri, and Maine, but most of all he loved West Virginia. Arladine Hogflut loved Texas, Louisiana, Kentucky, Illinois, and Ohio, but West Virginia was the closest to his heart.
Arladine sounds like a girl's name.
Arladine is a girl's name.
Oh.
Arladine Hogflut had a warm place of his bosom for North Dakota, California, New York, and Arkansas, but West Virginia was his true sweetheart and the apple of his eye. Arladine Hogflut's eyes misted over with tender tears at the thought of Idaho, Oregon, New Hampshire, and Utah. But it was West Virginia that stirred his deepest emotions, and he died with the name West Virginia on his lips.
Huh.
Arladine Hogflut, one of the finest men of this league.
That grocery boy Irvin is getting too smart for his pants. I asked him a civil question about why was the bananas he brought so spotty and musty, and he decided to make a joke out of it. Where's your father?
He went upstairs.
Oh?
Be seated, Sadie.
All right.
I was just telling Russia about Arladine Hogflut.
Who is she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Arladine Hogflut was at one time employed as armed guard at the Missouri State Home for the Troll.
That's so?
He quit that job in 1909 and went to work as supervisor of the laundry at the Ohio State Home for the Ball.
Well, what do you think about moving to Peoria?
Oh, I'm like Gov. I'm not used to the idea yet. What do you think about it?
I don't quite believe it. I mean, my mind doesn't quite accept it. I'm not convinced.
You people discussing all the hog flesh, are you?
No, we were discussing Peoria.
Peoria? Peoria. I know it well. The mighty Mississippi flows through Peoria.
No, Uncle Fletcher.
The mighty Mississippi churns through Peoria, and the rippling runnels cleaves her green bank.
Very pretty, Uncle Fletcher.
Hey, we left out of some bit with Lame Brain Fog.
Well, Peoria isn't on the Mississippi, Uncle Fletcher. Peoria's on the Illinois.
Where did you get that peculiar notion, Rush, honey?
That peculiar notion is the truth.
I guess the day the scholars there in your school studied the subject of Peoria, that professor got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, you can take my word for it, Rush, honey.
I can take your word for it, Peoria's on the Mississippi River?
Yeah.
But it isn't.
You are contradicting the grown-ups, are they, lad?
Peoria's on the Illinois River. The Mississippi's way over west. In fact, it's the western boundary. I'll show you on the map.
Never mind, Willie. Let it go.
Oh.
Yes, I and some of the other young ladies there in Dixon used to sing that song years ago. I don't recall the tune on it, but the words went, the mighty Mississippi currents through Peoria and the rippling runnels cleaves the green bank. I make my saddle horse go faster by speaking it up and hitting him lightly with a leather whip on his flank. Oh, Mary, cousin Mary, bring me another saucer of sliced cucumbers and a market basket.
Hey, this will need a lot of polishing, and there's a little hole near one of the latches. Do you think you could fix it, or should I take it downtown?
Is that the suitcase?
Yes.
You went up in the attic and dug it out from behind all those picture frames and stuff?
Well, sure.
What's the idea?
Peoria. I'm going to Peoria.
You're not going to Peoria tonight, are you?
I don't know when I'm going to Peoria. I just know I'm going to Peoria.
Well, when are you going to find out when you're going to Peoria?
Sadie, you talk in circles.
No, I don't.
You're excited.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Your question, Vic, honey, puts me in mind of Arladine Hogflut's cousin Ralph.
I didn't ask any questions.
That's what I say. Arladine Hogflut's cousin Ralph.
You criticize me for going up in the attic and digging out the suitcase when any minute I might be leaving for Peoria.
You don't know when you're leaving for Peoria. All you've heard is a vague rumor.
Vague rumor? Didn't I explain? Didn't I tell you how these big shots in the company had a meeting all morning?
Yes, you did tell that.
Vague rumor. Rat spit.
How was that, Gus?
What?
You said rat spit.
Rat spit?
Yeah.
I never said rat spit. I said that's rich.
Oh, uh-huh.
That vague rumor. That's rich.
Uh-huh.
That's rich, I sure said.
Okay.
Oh, Dick, you're excited.
All right, whatever I am, a little excited. Anybody be a little excited. This is a gigantic move for us. We've lived in this town all these many years, and all our roots are here.
Peoria is only 40 miles away.
All right. So Peoria is only 40 miles away. What's the difference if it's 40 miles away or 400 miles away?
People jump back and forth in helicopters these days.
Have we got a helicopter?
No, but a distance of 40 miles would only take a few minutes to come.
No, Vic, but here's what I mean. You're liable to get sick or something if you keep on being this feverish and upset for any length of time.
Here's what I mean. Our pulling up stakes and leaving for another city is a thing of breathtaking magnitude in our lives. You don't seem to grasp that fact. We leave our home and our friends and our lodges and clubs and 9 million other close relationships and associations, even including agriculture here.
Good afternoon.
I'm astonished that you can sit there so sluggish and phlegmatic, kiddo. I'm astonished.
Stop on, Dan. Stop on, Dan.
I'll get it. It's probably Peoria.
Well, why would it be Peoria?
You said it'd be Peoria when you answered it a while ago, and it turned out to be Michigan, Michigan from Michigan, Michigan, wanting to borrow $2.
Yeah.
Well, why don't somebody see who it is on the telephone?
You're holding it in your hand.
What?
You see who it is. You're holding the telephone in your hand.
Oh.
Ricardo, you act somewhat confused.
Confused and then some.
Hello? Yes. Well, yes, I believe he is.
Joy Clark wishing to speak with me?
Somebody for Uncle Fletcher.
Telephone, Uncle Fletcher.
Yes, indeed.
Telephone.
First class, A-number-1 invest.
You're wanted on the telephone.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have the notion you're desirous of discussing the telephone. Talk for half a telephone over here, Vic.
I never talk telephone.
Suit yourself. Hello?
Oh, it's Uncle Fletcher. Go and take the telephone. I'm not crazy to stand across the room and scream.
It's impossible to hear what the guy on the other end is saying unless you hold a receiver to your ear.
Always some distance, another.
I want to get this suitcase shined up, kiddo, and this hole in it sewed neatly. And there's 18,000 other things that have to be handled. I'll make a list. Rush, go to Peoria and get me a pencil. Go to the desk and get me a pencil.
Okay.
What do you want, Uncle Fletcher?
I want the non-stop telephone.
Well, I haven't got it. Oh, here.
Not one flathead thing, it's another. Hello? What? Yes? Goodbye.
Who is that?
I don't know.
What did they want?
I haven't got the faintest idea.
Well, what did they say when you said yes?
Are you enjoying this warm weather?
They said that, and you answered yes and hung up, huh?
Of course.
I see.
Say, getting back to Peoria.
Yes, let's get back to Peoria.
Oh, Gert! You home, Gert? Oh, Gert!
That is Harry Dean.
Yeah, believe it is.
That is the voice of Harry Dean. Harry, old pal!
Come on, Fletch.
Go on in, Harry. Harry Dean, by George. Say to Vicky, honey, you are listening to the voice of Harry Dean.
I know him. He hangs around the interurban station.
There's no mistaking that voice. That voice is the voice of Harry Dean.
Now, listen, you guys. Let's not burn out everything we know.
You mean about Peoria?
Peoria is a secret.
Come right on in, Harry.
Afternoon, everybody.
Harry, old pal.
Afternoon, Miss Gert.
How do you do?
Right, how's Trish?
I can't complain.
Gert, you left your interurban ticket down on the counter there in the interurban station. I brought it out for you.
Oh, I forgot about that interurban ticket.
I don't know if it skipped your mind. You look like you were walking around a dream.
I'd completely forgotten that ticket.
Here it is.
Oh, say,
you are Harry Dean.
I know I'm Harry Dean. Sometimes I reflect on that fact with mixed emotions.
Rush, honey, you are standing in the presence of Harry Dean.
Thank you, nice.
Vic, what is that interurban ticket?
Oh, just an interurban ticket.
You certainly shoved it in your pocket and got it out of sight mighty quick.
Well, it's just a common, ordinary interurban ticket.
It's one-way transportation to Peoria, Miss Good.
No.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Vic, you bought a ticket to Peoria?
Oh, well, I was kind of excited.
Right. Your father bought a ticket to Peoria.
Uh-huh.
Vic, you lie down.
No,
I mean it. You lie down.
Well,
right here on this
davenport. Oh.
Rush, trot out to the kitchen and bring me in a washcloth, a pan of water, and a chunk of ice out of the ice box.
No, I...
Lie down, Vic. I'm not
Well, sir, join our friends in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. We find Vic prostrate on the Davenport, Sade contemplating him with some concern, and young Rush, Uncle Fletcher, and Harry Dean lounging beside the library table, interestedly awaiting events. Sade is saying,
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Peoria.
Yes, lying there mumbling Peoria. Why, goodness, go on, at this rate, you'd collapse.
Peoria.
Come home in the middle of the afternoon so upset and excited you can hardly talk sense. You dash upstairs in the attic and dig out your suitcase. You stop in at the interurban station almost in a daze and buy a railroad ticket. You act like you were leaving town right this minute. It's ridiculous. You know what I'm going to do?
Peoria.
I am going to call up Mr. Rubrich and inquire.
Inquire about what?
Peoria.
No.
Yes.
No, you see, it's a secret. Nobody's supposed to know.
I'll say I heard a rumor. And I want to verify.
Hello, everybody home? You in there, Peoria?
Somebody in the kitchen.
I know that voice.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Miss Cook. Peoria around.
There's Chief of Police Carson.
Well, come on in, Mr. Carson.
Yeah, thanks, I will.
Hey, that's the Chief of Police.
Yeah.
Rick? Hey, Rush, hey, the Chief of Police.
Yeah.
You heard what I said, hey?
Sure did, Flitch.
The Chief of Police are here.
Hello, Miss Cook. Nice to see you again. Oh, right, how's the boy?
Hello, Flitch.
Afternoon, Chief. Howdy, old boy.
Warm afternoon.
Not at all. Chief, how do you know Harry?
Of course I do. How you doing, Harry?
Same old grind, Chief.
What's the matter with you, Yeah?
Just laying down a minute, Chief.
Is that all?
Just stretching out for a minute.
Huh. I suppose first you're saying your last words with all your loved ones hovering about you.
That's as I guess.
Chief of Police is a witty fellow.
Oh, he's a cat bird.
You are Harry Dean.
Thanks for reminding me. I forget every now and then.
That's what I say.
I got your message, V.R.
Did you?
Yeah, found it on my desk a few minutes ago.
Well, it didn't amount to anything.
That's wrong, huh?
No, forget it.
Well, it kind of disturbed me. Just thought I'd look in and make sure.
Forget it.
All right. But the boys there in the office said you looked really troubled when you stopped past and left your message. They said you acted like you had walked in your sleep.
I was a little preoccupied, was all.
Uh-huh.
Well, what was the message, Mr. Collinson?
Just that D.R. Cook was anxious to see me.
We're moving to Peoria, Chief. I'm topping the tail of Plant 14, the Consolidated Kitchenware Company. The whole business is moving to Peoria.
The heck it is.
Keep it under your hat, will you?
Sure thing.
We're moving to Peoria.
Vic, were you so excited about what you heard down at the office that you called the police?
I wanted to talk to Chief Collinson.
You were so excited over this news about moving to Peoria that you actually called the police.
Well, maybe I was a little bit excited.
This is almost unbelievable.
Now that there's a lull in the conversation, I'll describe something side-splittingly funny that happened to my dear chum, Arla Dean Hogflesh.
Vic, I'm going to telephone Mr. Rubrich.
No.
How do I reach him?
I won't tell you.
How do I reach Mr. Rubrich, Rush?
Call the plant and ask him, and the switchboard girl will give you a secretary.
What's your secretary's name?
Edith Parent.
Oh, thanks. May I have a quiet, please?
Well,
you bet, Mr. Cook.
8956W, please. Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Rubrich is going to consider this mighty, mighty high-handed, Dave.
I can't help it. Mr. Rubrich's office, please.
Harry, old pal, did you ever visit the northwestern part of eastern South Dakota?
No, never did.
Harry Dean.
Hello? Is this Miss Heron? This is Mrs. Victor R. Grook speaking. Yes, I wonder if I might talk with Mr. Rubrich a minute if he's not too busy. Thank you very much.
Oh, my.
Harry, I'll pitch you a rack of indoor horseshoes over an Ike Meese up in the basement.
I'm on.
Dime a game and a penny for ringers and leaners.
Okey-doke.
Hello, Mr. Rubrich. Say, Mr. Rubrich, I hate to disturb you and take up your time, but we heard this kind of halfway rumor, and I wondered if you could possibly... Yes. It's about the plant maybe leaving the city, and that's it. Leaving the city and moving to Peoria, Illinois.
I'll make you lads a little deal.
Your niece is on the telephone, Flint.
It's like there's always somebody on the list with telephone.
Oh, I see, Mr. Rubrich.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And thanks so much. I surely will. All right, Mr. Rupert. Yes. Goodbye.
Well?
The rumor is true. Plant number 14 of the Consolidated Kitchenware Company is moving to Peoria, lock, stock, and barrel.
He's come right out and said that, huh?
Yes. And as soon as the lease on that property in Peoria expires, everybody packs up and goes.
See? I was right.
Mr. Rubers, give me the date when the lease expires.
Yes? When did it expire?
May 11th, 1976.
That's 30 years from now.
30 years from now. So, you see this, there really isn't any hurry about packing your suitcases, buying a ticket to Peoria, or calling the police.
I am saying nothing.
Perhaps that's just as well.
Peoria, Peoria. The mighty Mississippi journeys through Peoria, and the rippling runnels cleave her green bank.
Visit at the small house, halfway up the next block, with radio's home folks, they can save. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitz Company again presents Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.